Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go, fellas.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
I never get sick of that, JQ. Here we go.
Yo.
I got to update one these days.
Yeah, we need to come out there with that too sharp blow the whistle.
Uh-oh. Rob trying to get
what's my favorite word?
Come on, Rob. I love it. Rob is ready to go. Of course, America, you heard that sound, of course, officially talking sports with the 12th man. We are ready to go today. Kind of a little post-Labor Day fun, but we are really ready to crank this, get this party started. A lot of things to discuss. As always, of course, today is September the 6th. Talking sports with the 12th man, I am Andre. Let's kick it in with my fellow co-host, first and foremost, I'll start off with JQ. Jaquan, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, man. I'm just glad my Buckeyes only had to play bowling on Saturday because, woo, this weekend it was a doozy.
It was a doozy. We're going to talk about that, too, as well. And like you said, we got to show some love for my other co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. Rob, how you feeling, sir?
Man, feeling great. Had a great weekend in San Francisco with the family. Had to play the Red Beans today, man. Couldn't be better.
Man, come on,
there,
man.
There you go. Oh, man.
You got to throw in a little food, and you got to throw in a little travel.
Man, we got to get you your own cooking show, bro. You got to get one.
I just like to eat, man. I don't have to cook it.
I mean, I like to do both. I like to cook and I like to eat, man. So I'm kind of like, you know, par for the course, man. Maybe we can talk about our show, Rob, about our tailgate idea, too. So we'll keep that going as well. But let's continue on, gentlemen, and let's
tailgate
get it going.
Tailgate, we're talking sports with 12, man.
That sounds good.
That's something I want to do, man. Hit mm-hmm. like, different stadiums and just do something like that, man. I'd love to do that. Bring you guys on the road, man, just for fun, man. So we'll talk about that, man. It's kind of in the back of my mind. But one day, man, we'll keep it going. But let's get this party started. Let me throw out the numbers. If you want to, as always, reach out to your boys. The number is always that 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. We're also on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports is our Twitter handle. And then finally on Facebook as well. Rod knows that pretty well. You go to facebook.com/talkingsportsandtwelfthman, or if you put in 12th man sports, you will find us in that arena as well. So, gentlemen,
Roger, stop answering every one of our questions with Kobe.
Yeah, man, come on. Whoa.
We're not gonna get too crazy, but yeah, Rod, we're gonna come back to you. Maybe he's trying to get our attention. I don't know. So, good job about
who's
that.
Who's gonna win the AFC championship, Kobe?
Wow. Wow, Rob is definitely channeling his inner Rod, though, so we'll keep that moving, man. It was a fun week. I got mm-hmm. nothing on that. So Rob,
Tim Tebow.
We just, yeah, hey, I'm not that bad. You gotta admit, I do that for fun, but I'm not like answering questions and everything like that with Tebow. That's all in the conversation.
If it's not Tim Tebow, so, JQ, he's saying Johnny Manziel, one or the other.
Dude, I brought that up a couple months. That's been months, man. It's been months about that. You know.
All right, well, y'all broke up.
Right,
okay.
No. See, Rob, I was about to show you some love with Les Miles, but, you know, now, you know, I'm going to go all in.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Leslie Miles, yeah. It's time for you to pack your bags out of Baton Rouge.
Uh-oh.
That's Rob's favorite coach.
4 minutes.
That's Rob's favorite coach in America.
I'm Herman, so I'm making your way to Baton Rouge.
You got to drive him, Rob. You're going to drive him out of town. That was going to happen, Rob. You're going to drive him out of town, man.
Oh, yeah.
That was going to happen, Rob. Okay. All right.
You're
going
to drive him right back up there to Ann Arbor. So
no, don't do that.
So what?
So you can retire.
let's knock out a couple things really, really quickly here. I'd love for us to talk about college football, but Rob wanted to talk NFL. So let's get these predictions out the way, and let's talk about what a great college football weekend it was. And, yes, we'll talk about your Leslie Miles person, too. So really quickly, let's talk about the AFC champion. Stay tuned, JQ. I'm going to let Rob start this off because this is all him. So go ahead, Rob.
Yes, sir.
Get it going, sir.
Well, JQ may not like this prediction, but I'm going to actually go with the Pittsburgh Steelers as far as winning the AFC. I think it's going to be a tight game, an AFC championship game with the New England Patriots. But I think this Pittsburgh team is going to be loaded. I think they're last year they finished third in the NFL in sacks, and I think they're going to be improved in the secondary, so they'll be even better on defense. And then offensively, I know they're going to be out with Le'Veon Bell for the first 3 weeks. And, of course, they lost Martavius Bryant for the season. But I still think this team is going to be loaded. They're going to score a lot of points. They're going to be good on defense. I think they're going to be tough to stop. New England, it was tough for me to pick over them. Martellus Bennett and Gronk, I think it's going to be a great 1-2 punch at tight end. But I'm actually going to go with the Patriots. I'm sorry, the Steelers with winning the AFC.
He said the Patriots. Sorry.
The Steelers over the Patriots in the AFC Championship game.
See?
Okay,
see?
Get it right, bro. Get it right.
See, this is why Rob don't hit me up when he comes to Atlanta, because he gets on here and starts talking that crazy talk. So he knows,
I try to hit you guys up. Y'all good. Never available.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, no, I keep saying it, and I'm not, and it just feels that way to me. I'm going to go with the Broncos again, and the reason why, I think they have a defense that's good enough, especially on that back end, to match up with that Gronk and Bennett tight end combination that the Patriots can throw at them, and also to cover almost man up with Antonio Brown and the lesser wide receivers that Pittsburgh have and still get pressure with an older DeMarcus Murray, granted, with Von Miller. Von Miller better come to play given all that money he just got. So I'm going to go with the Broncos again. I think it's the Broncos over the Patriots in Denver, and the Broncos go back to the Super Bowl again. It feels a lot like that Baltimore team where you just ask your quarterback not to blow games because that defense is so ridiculous. And I just feel like the Broncos are set on the defensive side of the ball to where they can win a lot of 14-10 games, 17-14 games. It's not going to be sexy, but it's going to be effective. I just see that happening again.
Very nice, very nice. All right, let's talk about the NFC Championship predictions here. This is going to be interesting. Go ahead, I'll let you start that up. JQ, your thoughts, man.
You know, it's hard for me, and I know I sound like a broken record, but I'm going to go with that defense again. It's not Arizona because I've seen Carson Palmer, what he's going to do in the playoffs, and you just swipe right. I just can't take Arizona because until I see him do it, that I just don't know. The Packers losing Cutting Sitton, which was crazy. He must have cussed Ted Thompson out. I got to go with the Seahawks again. I really feel like this is now the time where they turn the keys over to Russell Wilson without having Marshawn Lynch, and you see him fully mature and do the things that he can do in terms of scrambling, throwing down with angry Doug Baldwin and Lockett and Curse. If they ever get Jimmy Graham to be 75% of what he was, you can do a two-headed monster with Christian Michael and Thomas Rawls. I the offensive line concerns me a little bit, but same thing I think happens with Pittsburgh is that you got a quarterback that can extend plays. But Russell Wilson is much more athletic. And I just think Seattle, even though they're in a tough division, I still feel like it's going to be Seattle. I think it's going to be a Seattle-Denver rematch of a couple Super Bowls ago.
Okay, Rob, I'm going to do you really quickly, but before, and this is kind of, Rob, also tied to what you put in your topic, all it takes is one Skip Bayless freaking conversation to get all
Jesus.
My Cowboys fans to, talk junk. I got Cowboys fan 25 over here talking about, or was it 225, whatever, talking about Cowboys going to take it because of what Skip Bayless says and that Dak Prescott is going to be like the future and Ezekiel Elliott can run all over. He's talking about they're going to be reborn like the freaking triplets in the 90s, man. So is this some crazy talk, man? I mean, I'll let you do your – that's I literally just got that message, man. So go ahead, Rob, with your predictions, man. I love it.
Well, since we brought up the Skip Bayless, we'll go ahead and tie that in. I'm going to say hell to the no-no, to the no-no,
there you go.
To the no-no about the Cowboys going to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Hey, good as Dak Prescott has looked in the preseason, and I'm actually rooting for the kid. I know y'all going to talk about me. He's a homer. He's from Louisiana. So, you know,
we got
talk about
him. But I got to throw that in there.
Surprise, surprise.
So, but, you know, he's a homer. But I just can't pull for the Dallas Cowboys, but I'll be rooting for Dak Prescott, as hard as that is for me to say. But as good as he looked in the preseason, we saw the Philadelphia Eagles just destroy everyone in the preseason last season, and they got to the regular season and laid an egg. So I'm not saying that I think it's still hard for me to say a rookie quarterback is going to come in and dominate this season in the regular season. So I'm going to say no way the Dallas Cowboys are making it to the Super Bowl. But my prediction, actually, JQ and I are on the same page with this one. I think Seattle gets back to the Super Bowl this year. Russell Wilson. Of course, with his mobility and throwing the football, managing the game properly, they got more depth at the running back position. Even without a healthy Jimmy Graham, I know he's not going to be here for week one for Seattle, but they have a solid core at the receiver position. Their interior offensive line, as JQ mentioned, does have some issues that they're still trying to rectify even as we speak. And I think defensively they'll still be good. Carroll is still one of the best coaches in the game. I have Seattle getting back to the Super Bowl, representing the NFC, with Seattle facing the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Uh-oh, Seattle, be careful. Last time we agreed, it was bad on Saturday.
You know, I'm a fan of that because I could actually see that with, you know, like you said, JQ, about Russell Wilson's growth. I am going to question, you know, what do you guys think about so no love for the Carolina Panthers again, guys? You think they lost too much? Maybe, I mean, they obviously got Kelvin Benjamin back. I mean, what do you think about them as far as the defending NFC champs, guys?
Well, I think they're back. Their secondary is what's going to hurt Carolina this season. Do I think they'll still win their division? Absolutely. They're probably one of the best front sevens in the game on defense, and I think they'll even be a little bit better offensively. But I think if you can protect the quarterback, you'll be able to exploit that Carolina secondary if you can protect your quarterback. And so I can see them still having a very good season, 11-5, maybe even 12-4. But I think they will fall to Seattle in the NFC Championship game.
Gotcha.
Agree with all
that. Cool. Good call. Like I said, because there's a couple teams I got my eye on. I like both the picks with Seattle. I'm kind of worried about Carolina and also kind of outside chance, too. You can never count on Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, too. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
We made a lot of jokes about your boy. Oh, my gosh. I can't think of his name right now. About the P90X and how he's doing his workouts. I'm the running back here. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm totally blanked out. But yeah, thanks, JQ. So you got to keep an eye on. They added, obviously, Jordan's coming back. So we'll keep an eye on. Those are the three teams I have an eye on coming out of the NFC, if you will. But sorry, Cowboys fan. I know he got real excited about Skip Bayless and the Cowboys, and they've got the potential, obviously, and things. Because I think that, I know. But I'm just, you know, he got all excited. All it took was that one Skip Bayless comment, and I had a feeling this was going to happen. And, of course, that is exactly what transpired. We got somebody already talking about Cowboys are back, if you will.
They don't have the defense. Right.
Yep, that's what I'm
going to get. I know.
Their offensive line is going to be still one of the best in the game. And if Dak Prescott can be, half as what he was in the preseason, they can be really good offensively. But, yeah, they won't. Defensively, they're going to be very poor.
Yep.
They don't have the players.
Yep,
agree.
And I got to agree with you too, Rob. I definitely think that this is actually pretty interesting because I think, you know, we are going to watch. I want to watch the Cowboys. So I do want to watch Dak Prescott. I'm very intrigued with this young man, like you said, Rob. So that's going to be an actual trigger for me to actually keep an eye on the Cowboys. Like you said, I mean, not that I'm a Cowboys fan, but I'm actually kind of intrigued about him, and that's definitely his style of play, maybe a little more exciting to watch for the Cowboys. And obviously, your boy JQ with Ezekiel Elliott too. So.
And Leslie Miles recruited Dak Prescott to be a fullback. Get the hell out of Baton Rouge, Leslie Miles.
Man. Rob is going off. Okay. There's no hold on the side of Rob Ford right now, America. So a little fiery. I love it. All right.
Let's
keep going here because we got a couple things. I know we got a couple things to talk about. Let's talk about some injuries for the NFL that prevent some teams from making the playoffs. I'm pretty sure if anyone loses quarterbacks, it's going to be challenging. But, Rob, what were you talking about as far as this particular topic, sir?
Well, I would just say the two, we talked about Tony Romo with the Cowboys. I mean, I think they might have had an outside chance with that offensive line and some of the weapons with Ezekiel Elliott and Dez Bryant with a healthy Romo. Teddy Bridgewater, obviously, with Minnesota is a big one that comes to mind for me. I think he was, based on what all analysts were saying, they were really airing the ball out in the preseason and training camp. He was ready to take that next step. And I really like this Minnesota team. I think they could have the best defense in the NFL. I think that's how good they're going to be on that side of the football. But I think losing your quarterback is going to really hurt that team. And I say that's the one big injury that's going to prevent that team from get making it to the playoffs.
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, that was my one. I was trying to rack my brain and look through it. That's the one that sticks out the most to me. There's one outlier that I wanted to bring up only because of the division, and it's those offensive line injuries to the Colts. That's a division that's winnable. I'm not saying they could have won the Super Bowl, but when you got an Andrew Luck back there and they've got a great wide receiving core, and I mean, I know they got old man River Frank Gore running the ball, and the defense isn't great, but I still think they had an outside shot at a wild card or maybe even that division. So if you're talking about just pure playoffs, that's one. Totally Teddy Bridgewater is the one that's foremost that sticks out. But I will throw a bone to the Cowboys fans. I still think Dak Prescott can navigate that team with those weapons on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at that NFC East, it's a very winnable. I think they can win that NFC East. I don't think they'll make the playoffs and make any noise in the playoffs, but if the question is preventing you from making the playoffs, I still think that can get enough to get it done. I mean, hell, Kirk Cousins got Washington to the playoffs last year. So I think it can be done. That's a winnable division as well. They can make the playoffs, but I don't think the Sean Hill, Sam Bradford combo in Minnesota is going to get it done. I think they just gave that NFC North to the Green Bay once that happened. So it really sucks for him because, like you said, he really was having a good preseason. They looked like they were going to be able to open up a little bit more, which is going to be very dangerous when you got Adrian Peterson in the backfield. So it's absolutely Minnesota and Teddy Bridgewater.
I don't know. I'm kind of like 50-50 on that too, JQ, because you know Teddy's still a young quarterback. And even though Sam Bradford, I mean, he's been injury prone his pretty much entire career. And we're not sure what he's going to add because, you know, he's getting into camp kind of late. But he can at least have the semblance of being a decent NFL quarterback. And as Rob said, if you got a great defense, hell, you can get away with freaking Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning showed us that last year. So if you add that defense, I mean, Minnesota can be a scary team towards the end of the year. So you never know. Let's see how quickly Sam Bradford can handle that offense. You got Adrian Peterson behind you. You got some decent weapons. Minnesota could be a very scary surprise team. So you heard it here from your boy, from Dre, on September the 6th. That I'm telling you right now, keep an eye for Minnesota, too, because that's going to be a scary, scary team if Sam Bradford can get up to speed. So that's my little thing as well, too, guys. I don't know if you want to make a comment about that. So that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Good point.
All right. Cool. Let's talk about your boy, JQ, Joey Bosa. What the French toast, bro. This is perfect because this is a tie with San Diego and Ohio State. Bring it back to the forefront, JQ. It's all you, man.
Yeah, stay classy, San Diego. But I'm not really surprised because you can do all the off-field and condition that you want to stay in shape, but there's nothing you can do about getting on that field and getting hit. And getting hit repeatedly, even when you're delivering the blows, just the car wrecks that happen on every play. I'm not surprised that he's experiencing some stiffness and some tightness, and it's holding him out a little bit. That's what happens when you hold out. It's one of those things that happens. You hold out and you get injuries because you're not in football shape. You can be in great physical shape, but you may not be in football shape, and they're two different things. You have to get accustomed to getting hit and hitting and being hit. So I'm not super surprised about it. Hopefully, it won't linger too long into the season because Lord knows San Diego needs every all hands on deck, especially with the losses in the run in the backfield, and they weren't really all that great on defense to begin with. But, once you miss camp, it didn't surprise me at all that happened to them.
Good, Rob.
I agree with everything JQ said. I'll just add that San Diego is going to be a bad football team this year.
Dumpster fire.
That's all I have. They'll be in last place in that division.
So sad. So sad. All right, Rob, let's talk about some fantasy football here as we had our drafts completed. So I'll kick it off
Damn,
to you, right. Mr. Rob, before we talk about that. See, I thought I was going to get away with that. Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead,
well,
Rob.
We're going into week one of the season. Just wanted to say thank you to all of our fantasy football participants once again and participating in our three drafts. So I just wanted to say thank you. Let's have some fun. Let the competing win. Let the competing begin. I'm sorry.
There you go. Yeah, you know what I'm going to say. That damn Dre taking all of my picks one step ahead of me. I he thinks I was playing. Like, he took, like, three out of four in a row where I was sitting there like, come on, Dre. Like, I got my finger on the button, and here you come taking them. But, again, to echo everything that Rob said, yeah, let's get to getting it. It should be fun. It should be exciting. And you never know. Some people step up. Some people fall by the wayside. Yeah, all depends on the matchups, right? So let's get it in. Starting Thursday. Woo, woo, can't wait.
Are you serious? Like, three out of four picks, you were going to pick that same guy? Are you serious?
Yeah, Russell Wilson, Ezekiel Elliott, and Melvin Gordon. I can rattle them all.
Don't buck his head up like that, JQ. Don't buck his head up.
Man, he did, man. I was sitting there like, man, I can't stand you right now, Dre.
I mean, Melvin Gordon, that was a surprise. I didn't even think that was even on your radar. That's the one that I kind of got me, man. I was thinking, okay, I can see like the first two, but I didn't really picture that. But that's very interesting. Okay.
The backup, you know, JQ, be looking for the Big Ten players, man. So you know you're going to be trying to pick them.
No, the backup getting hurt. The thing about him is the backup getting hurt. Danny Woodhead is more of a receiving running back, and he's going to get his receptions. But when the two backups got hurt and they're basically done for the year, I was like, they don't really have anybody to come take his job like they had last year. It's not, you can't give Danny Woodhead the ball 20 times rushing. So that, to me, rose his stock. So when you did that at that particular point, I was definitely on him. So, for sure, that's a good pick.
And you got to feel like Melvin Gordon will have a breakout season at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You would think.
Yeah, I grabbed him in one fantasy league myself.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. All right, gentlemen, we got about 8 minutes here to go. Let's talk about a couple things here. Let's talk about the top five teams going into NFL, going into week one. I'll let you kick this off, Rob, because I know you're trying to, like, savor the college football stuff, too. So go ahead with this, sir.
Well, real quick, I don't think we did our Super Bowl champion predictions. I'm going to go ahead and add it in really quick. I'm going to predict that the Steelers are going to win it all. I know JQ may be hating me even more now.
Come on,
but I'm going to predict that they will beat the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl. That's my prediction. Pittsburgh over Seattle in the Super Bowl. And my top five, obviously, if I'm picking Pittsburgh to win it all, I'm picking them number one. Seattle number two. We got New England at three. I have Carolina at four, and as Andre mentioned, you got to watch Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay. I have them at number five. Jordy Nelson is expected to play week one, so we'll see what kind of impact and how healthy he is coming back this week.
I thought we got that. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead, JQ. Yeah, go ahead.
So, yeah, you know I'm not picking Pittsburgh, so I'm going with Seattle to win again. Sorry for the language. That's what I call them. That's just what I call them. So I'm not going to sister myself for it. As far as the top five, I think I've got the same top five, just in different order. I've got Denver number one for right now. I got Seattle number two. I got Carolina number three. I would have New England number four, because Tom Brady's going to come back and they're going to come back with a vengeance. And I have a tough time at five between Green Bay and Pittsburgh. So I will kind of put them in a tie to take, you know, the loser way out. But that's why I'm going to go with my top five. And, yeah, I'm not picking them to win the Super Bowl ever in life.
That's okay, Andre. I call Ole Miss Ole Piss. So, you know.
Oh, man. Now, question. So you picked Denver number one. Rob, is that correct? Is that, I mean, right now?
No.
Both of you guys have Denver number one, right? Correct.
No, I have Pittsburgh number. I didn't even have Denver in my top five.
Oh, my bad. Okay, I'm so sorry. Okay, I'm saying
I have Pittsburgh number one.
Okay. Okay, cool. You guys went opposite directions with that. Okay. I was just curious. Okay, good deal. All right. Like I said, I like kind of a misplot for everything, too, because if Denver for you was in the – tell me your – was it top two? JQ, I was trying to, like, kind of formulate.
He was
mine.
Number
what
one.
Was your,
they,
what was your ranking
right now. Right now, I had Denver number one and Seattle number two. I picked Seattle to win it all, but I think it's going to be a little bit of a growing pain early for that offense to turn over to the Russell Wilson doing more air raid. But I think as the season goes along, they will lead to that one spot.
That's what I thought. Okay, cool. Because I was thinking of Denver, because I was wondering about, you know, so the quarterback, I mean, obviously we'll see how, you know, they got a great defense, but we'll see how the quarterback play comes into. I kind of like Seattle number one for me right now, just because, like I said, coming out the gate. I do like your pick, Rob, in Pittsburgh. I know we're not going to talk about that, JQ, with you, but there's a little nickname in them as well. I like Green Bay as well. They're up there. And same thing, JQ, I kind of like New England, too. I think they're going to kind of make a little push, too, because right now, I mean, they just always seem to win, you know, even though Bill Belichick has some things, too, man. So that's kind of an interesting play as well. I still think don't sleep on Minnesota, so we'll see about that as well. But, all right, guys, that's where we are. We got 4 minutes here, and let's finish this interesting story, too, in that Josh Sitton signs with the Bears to stick it to the Packers. What is up with that, Rob?
Well, obviously he had a few teams that was interested in him, and including my beloved New Orleans Saints, but he wanted to play against a team that goes against the Green Bay Packers twice. Obviously Josh Sitton is a former Pro Bowler here in this league. The Packers thought he was done. The Bears give him a 3-year deal, and he wants to be able to prove the Packers wrong. And so we'll see what happens with that and see if he's got anything left in the tank. There's no question the Chicago Bears are desperate for offensive line help. So we'll see if he can give them anything.
JQ.
Yeah, and the thing about it is one piece I read on that is that not so much they thought he was done, is the fact that they didn't want to give him the money he wanted on the contract extension, for one.
There
and
is.
For two, they said that also that there had been some other locker room incidents where he criticized the game plan and the coaches here and there throughout the past couple of seasons. So I don't think it's so much they think he's done. I think it's more of a locker room fit for his criticism and the fact that they just were not going to be able to come to terms on a contract. I still think it's crazy not to try to trade him or play this out and franchise him or trade him. I think Ted Thompson just has a reputation for cutting bait on players, and that's just where he is. Now, that's just his philosophy. He said he would have cut himself, you know, at a point in his career if he was the GM, just due to his age alone. So Ted Thompson is a hard driver as a GM, but you can't really knock the success that Green Bay has been having. So we'll see who wins that. But I love Josh Sitton. I don't, you know, trying to stick it to him. And let's not forget, you pair him with Kyle Long, and now they've got a fantastic guard set up there. And if they hadn't lost their center to injury in the preseason, they would have been super solid up the front. So I think it gives the Bears a little bit more of a push. But, yeah, this is a classic FU move by Sitton to Ted Thompson. He wants to stick it to him as many times as possible. So I don't know about the sort of choice, because I don't feel like Chicago has a great chance at, you know, making the playoffs. But, you know, if that's not it, you already got the ring and you want to stick it to somebody, hey, it's your choice. Stick it to him.
Yeah, the thing you got to realize with the Green Bay Packers, at the end of last season, they were really struggling. And part of their struggle was due to their offensive line, too. So this is it's still somewhat of a surprise, because they really struggled toward the end of the season as far as protecting Aaron Rodgers as well as running the football.
Mm-hmm. You got it. All right, Rob, right in time. Let's talk about right into the OT portion. We've got 2 minutes here, so let's kick it up. So get ready to get prepared for that. Go ahead, Rob.
All right. I know you all are ready for our college football coverage. We're going to be going right into it in the OT portion. So you definitely want to click on the same link on tomorrow to get our college football recap. So you definitely do not want to miss it. Once again, click on this tomorrow while you're on your lunch break and get your recap. Let us know what you think about our comments on the show via Facebook or Twitter. We'll be back on. Are we doing Monday night next week or Tuesday night, fellas?
Either one works for me.
Yeah, we'll
say Monday night, but stay tuned. We'll update you as we go along. It'll be 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific for our friends in Hawaii. Aloha. It's going to be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time on next Monday night. Stay tuned. Good night, people.
JQ.
Oh, you guys want to listen to it, because this college football conversation is going to be epic. I cannot wait. Thank you guys for tuning in. Like I said, download it and listen to us when you're riding in your car, or when you just need a break from, you know, creating your spreadsheets or whatever you do day to day at your office. We appreciate all the love and the viewership. We'll holler at you next week. Stay classy.
And for our listeners in Hawaii, we won't talk about that 63-3 loss to Michigan. So you can tune in.
Yeah, that was a whoop.
Wow. There's a lot of whoopings going on this weekend, too. Sorry, Mike, man. My USC my guy out there, he wasn't too happy either. And I had a lot of Florida State fans were pretty upset about the start, but they kind of pulled it off too. But we will save that for the OT portion. We've got a lot of things to discuss, man, and eventually we'll get that. So appreciate you guys, America, and click on the link. And we are officially into the OT portion. All right.
Speaking of Florida State, well, their fans go ahead. In the first half were looking like they just lost the best bet on their house.
I got a homeboy that was at the game with all his family. He's all Florida State, and he was not happy with that first half.
they got a little scared right there. They're like, oh, here we go again. Yeah, they were clearly scared. But I'm going to throw you a bone, Rob, too, if I can kind of take a little tangent here, in that I was looking at Florida State, and I was thinking in my head, you know, and this is kind of the LSU talk. So I was like, man, you know, LSU, you know, Les Miles is so stubborn in thinking that, you know, we're going to run the ball, and we're going to run the ball, and we're going to run the ball again. And if they had just any quarterback, as we know, because you think, like, how come LSU can't get a quarterback? Because, you know, Les Miles doesn't believe in throwing the ball. And you look at Florida State, they seem like they got another clone in Francois here. Another clone just like Jameis, man. I mean, this for some reason, the first half, they didn't do it. They were trailing. And this guy, the kid had the umption to make those great plays, and they had to come back again, man. So it's just they get another quarterback, and it's just a freshman. So you can't think, how come LSU can't get a quarterback like that? That's all they got to do, and they would be at least freaking decent, man. So I'm going to throw you a bone from that respect. I know how you love Les Miles so much, but it was just I was sitting back like baffled after watching this Wisconsin just hand it to them, and you know they're like, yeah, please try to throw the ball because he couldn't do anything. It was crazy to me. So yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know DeAndre Francois, we talked about him on our ECC preview last week. This kid has the potential to be really special. He obviously grew up after halftime of that game, over 419 yards passing. 59 yards rushing, and I think more than anything, it's the belief that Jimbo Fisher has in him. And when you talk about coaching, I'm one who's not going to blame Brandon Harris with LSU. Brandon Harris, in my opinion, has got a world of potential. But LSU coaching staff, the LSU coaching staff has handcuffed him. They have handcuffed him. They don't let the kid play. They don't let the kid throw the football. I mean, they have not developed this kid. They have not developed anyone. I blame the coaching staff purely. Jimbo Fisher, the guy Francois, got off to a couple of rough passes. He believed in him. He let the kid play. The kid proved himself. The kid performed. That's the difference. It's coaching.
I got to slightly disagree because that is a boneheaded, inexcusable interception with the game on line for Brandon Harris. That was nowhere even close to anybody. And the offensive lineman for that cheap shot was just ridiculous. I mean,
yeah.
I know they suspended him for the next game, but it ain't really matter. They're playing Jacksonville State, I think, or somebody crazy.
The offensive line play was horrible, too, the entire game.
It was. And we talked about freshman quarterbacks. Bouchel, the freshman quarterback from Texas, fantastic game against Notre Dame at home.
Yeah.
And it's another thing of why LSU can't get one. And you talk about two now who've gone into primetime games and have flat out delivered. And I know Soup's got all the love for the overtime run, and rightfully so. But it was Rochelle that helped keep him in that game and traded blows with Kaiser from Notre Dame. But, again, the biggest takeaway for me for this weekend is got to be LSU. We talked about them, and they have so much dominance in all these other positions on the field that I just can't understand how they can't get it done and get a quarterback. And I'm sorry for your buddy from USC, but we all knew that Alabama was going to steamroll USC. That I didn't think that was really ever in doubt. But I got to give a lot of love to Houston for following up with that destruction of Florida State last year in the Peach Bowl and coming back and giving it to Oklahoma and solidifying themselves, moving all the way up to number six. As a team to be reckoned with. Now, I know they're going to have to probably fall back now because they don't get another chance to play somebody that we consider good until they play Louisville late in the season. You got to give Louisville a lot of credit because they destroyed Charlotte. But Houston definitely raised some eyebrows in the opening weekend. So those are really my big takeaways. And the Big Ten got a big bump I don't think they're as good as people are making them out to be. I think Wisconsin, like you said, played into LSU team. They didn't play up to their potential. And Ohio State and Michigan were supposed to beat those teams the way they beat them. So that, to me, is not necessarily something I'm going to jump off the roof about and beat my chest, because those are games you're supposed to win just like that.
Go ahead, Rob. Your thoughts, man.
A lot of that I agree with. Alabama really proved themselves to continue to be nasty as ever. Their defense is as nasty as ever. You just got to tip your hat to Nick Saban. And, you know, he just has his teams ready to play. And every now and again you may see them lay an egg in the regular season, but after that, I mean, he just has his teams focused. He has his teams ready to play. When you look at this LSU this past weekend, that LSU team was not ready to play. Les Miles, you can say what you want about him. He did not have that ready to play against Wisconsin and those corn-fed boys, cheese-eating jokers. He did not have them ready to play this past Saturday. And you look at Nick Saban, that team came out there nasty. They were ferocious. Same type of talent. What you're going to see, there's probably going to be more NFL players on this LSU team than that Alabama team. There are more NFL players from LSU right now than Alabama in the NFL. We got guys going undrafted from LSU making teams. It's unheard of. That team, you can look at that game, LSU was not ready to play. That falls on Les Miles. So kudos, as much as I hate Alabama, kudos to Nick Saban. And they totally shut down Juju Smith from USC. They found a quarterback. Now, here's another case. Freshman quarterback, Jalen Hurts. They let the kid play. He came in. He's going to be the future for Alabama. We talked about him on the preview show last week, Jalen Hurts. So they found a quarterback there. JQ talked about Houston. Greg Ward, QB for Houston, is a stud. And they have a ferocious defensive line at Houston, too. Ed Oliver, a five-star recruit right there from Houston. Tom Herman convinced him to stay at home. He's already an elite player as a freshman. Definitely Houston. We talked about Florida State, DeAndre Francois, the way they came back. Defense looked a little shaky. I was expecting the defense to be a little bit better. I know his first game and that Ole Miss team looked like they're going to be really good on offense with Chad Kelly. So we'll have to see. But I could have just been just going against a good offense, but I expected Florida State defense to be better than what they showed. Michigan and Ohio State, even though they played cupcakes, you know, they did what they were supposed to do in those games. Michigan looks like they're going to be really good in the trenches, both offensive and defensive line. And they've got more speed this year, too. So they're going to be a team to watch. They're a little bit more fast on the perimeter than what they have been in the last few years. And Ohio State, 776 yards of total offense. JT Barrett and that offense going to work. So, you know, I gave Pittsburgh Steelers props, so I'm going to give you Buckeyes some props, too.
I appreciate it. And one last piece to just throw on that fire. I'm not going to totally kick the SEC while they're down, because I know they had some bad losses. But you've got to give Ole Miss, basically playing the home game against Florida State and Orlando, a lot of credit for hanging in there for most of that game. I mean, Florida State came back and won, and Ole Miss self-destructed some in that third quarter. But nobody even expected that first half to even happen. And let's not forget, Auburn gave Clemson absolute fits on the Plains. And you're talking about a Hail Mary that they had to knock down and make sure that they held on to that game. But Gus Malzahn, you cannot play five quarterbacks, bro. You can't even play three. You got to sell on one or two of them and just roll with it. But even outside of that, they gave them fit. So don't, you know, let's not kick too much dirt on the SEC grave quite yet, because they had some good showings. And then, of course, you also had Alabama steamrolling USC. I still think they're the best conference, but it's not as big a gap as everybody likes to make it out to be.
Couple thoughts. That's great, guys. So Rob, and this is for you. I'm gonna talk, and you'll get your thought too about the JQ. So what do you think about Chad Kelly? I mean, this guy looked amazing in the first half too. I mean, clearly he is definitely staked his name as probably one of the top quarterbacks. Even playing a little better than Deshaun Watson, I would say. But what do you think about Mr. Chad Kelly, Rob, and his prospects as an NFL guy?
Well, yeah, he definitely projects to be a first-round pick, and in my opinion, at the moment, along with Deshaun Watson. And so it just depends on what you're looking for as a scout. I mean, there are some NFL scouts that do not rate Deshaun Watson as highly. But I still believe Watson is a top-five pick. you know, I think he would just have to have a horrible season for him to fall out of that position, which it has happened in the past with some quarterbacks going into their junior, senior year projected to be in the top five, and they fall out of grace. We saw that with a kid from Michigan State, JQ, you probably remember his name.
Connor Cook.
Yeah, Connor Cook. You know, he was projected to be a first quarterback in the draft a couple of years in a row, and he just fell off from grace. So, I mean, it is possible. And so we'll have to see. But, you know, right now I would have to say Watson and Chad Kelly are the top two guys in the draft as we speak. And watch Browning from the University of Washington, too.
Absolutely. Okay. I want to throw him in there. Chad Kelly, he has all the talent. He made some fantastic throws, but he also made some bonehead throws. He had a little Brett Favre in him where he was trying to make throws on the strength of his arm. And it just wasn't great decisions. But I think, you know, if you can refine that as the season goes along, I definitely agree with that. And as far as Deshaun Watson, when I was watching, and I've got a gang of Clemson buddies I was watching that game with, and they were on pins and needles. They were not happy. But watching that game, it looked like he was trying to do too much to prove that he was a pocket passer instead of just letting him play the game as it comes natural to him and use some of that run ability because he's a fantastic athlete. And it's like, don't put the handcuffs on yourself trying to show people what they want you to be. Be who you are and go with your skill set and let the chips fall where they may. And that's the only thing I would say about Deshaun Watson. He has all the tools. But, you know, don't hamstring yourself trying to fit a mold that you think other people want you to be in. Be you that got you to the championship game last year. If he can go back to doing that moving forward, I think you'll see his stock, you know, not decline and stay up there. But he looked like he was just thinking too much in that game where I think Chad was just letting it rip. And sometimes it worked out, and sometimes it didn't. He's got a little Brett Favre in him as well.
Gotcha. All right, gentlemen, 4 minutes here really quickly. And I want to say one last comment about the Houston, Oklahoma. And, Rob, you know I'm going to say something. I was always right about my Bob Stoops, man. That was a trap game, I think. I was not going for it. I had a feeling that was going to happen. And I just got to say, I think Tom Herman, he's definitely – we'll see if he's going to be at Houston too much longer because he is in the conversation. That school, really, really good men. So just keep an eye on that too as well.
He'll be at LSU next year.
And that's not true. It depends on if Houston makes the Big 12.
I think he'll still be in LSU. That won't matter. LSU is a better football school than Houston.
Harry Homer.
No, it's a fact. That's a fact. He will not stay at Houston if LSU comes calling.
Okay, fair enough. Top five teams really quickly after week one, Rob.
I still have to go with Alabama. We talked about it already. I'm not going to go too much more into it, but I'll just say Alabama. I'm moving Houston up to number two. I was impressed.
I think
they're legitimate, and I have them at the number two position. I have Florida State at three. I have Michigan at four, and I have Ohio State at five. I've already talked about all five of those schools. So I won't go into it much more, but that's my top five.
Oh, wow.
Go ahead, JQ.
Okay. I'm going to stay with pretty much what I saw the polls. I think I'm not going to overreact for 1 week. I'm going to stay with Alabama at one. I think Clemson cleaned some stuff up. I'm going to keep them at two. I think Florida State has done enough to stay at three. I would put Houston at four. And I will put Ohio State at five.
Yeah, they've got the rankings. I got Alabama, Florida State, Clemson, Ohio State, and Houston at their top five. So that's pretty good, too. All right, gentlemen, we've got 2 minutes here. I guess let's talk really quickly about you guys think about this was the best week in college football history. I think this was the more upsets in history. So do you want to talk about that as we get ready to end the show? What do you think about that? Yes, no, and I'll start with you, Rob.
I'm going to say, obviously, it's the most recent one that I can think about, so I'm going to say, yes, this was. Even though my team lost, I think this was the most exciting week one in college football that I can remember.
Yeah, I would have to say so. Just all the intriguing matchups, all the storylines, the big schools playing each other. You had some cupcakes in there, but you had some fantastic, you know, big boy, power five, cross conference matchups. So, yeah, I would have to say, and it lived up to the hype. We talked about it all summer. And you think it can't live up to the hype, and then it did.
Football is back.
Now we're going to week two in college football. There's no top 25 matchups in week two. So just about everybody's playing cupcakes this week in week two. So I'm sure we'll probably find some interesting games this weekend. But there are no top 25 matchups in week two in college football.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Rob, you got 30 seconds to end the show, Rob. Or go ahead.
next week, people, stay tuned. Right now we're playing it for Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Tune in. More football. That's all we need to talk about. Good night, people.
JQ.
Yes, sir. NFL is back, fantasy. Let's get it. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. Holler next week.
Let's have some fun. Tim Tebow will not make it. Will not make it to the majors. That's Andre's little shot.
Uh-oh.
Man, it's been fun.
He's too old. 30 man. Years old. Too old. This he will not make it.
He gonna win the Triple Crown.
he gonna try for it, fellas. Oh man, that's what it's all about. Once again, we have fun in for the show again, America. We thank you for tuning in. We'll see you guys same time next week. We'll talk to you soon.